Listeners, good morning. You are welcome to another edition of Media and Society, a weekly program show on Extras Radio that features so many issues in the media industry and the world of journalism at large. In today's episode, we shall be discussing with our dual professor and person of our Professor Abdallah Uba Adamu. Professor, you are welcome to the program.
Listeners, good morning.
The topic of discussion today is the importance of research in the media setting. Professor, let's talk about research as a concept. What does it stand for?
Research as a concept means an attempt to discover something, to move from something that you don't know to something that you know. A sense of discovery, a sense of journey that takes you from one place to another. And in the process of making that discovery, you become illuminated. You become aware of what you don't know before. You realize that there's a lot of things that you don't know, and the research is what will guide you into becoming a much more balanced, knowledgeable person. It makes you more objective. So the purpose of research is to discover something, to discover the truth about the relationship between one or two variables or one or two things, to see if that relationship could lead to an understanding of how society works, how media works.
Yes, Professor, what do you need research for in the media setting?
Well, nothing actually. There is no specific qualification for you to do any research. But probably the most important attribute you need to have is objectivity. Research is about being objective. It's about looking at issues from a very detached, objective perspective. You shouldn't go into a research. You may have preconceived notions about what you think is going to be the outcome. You shouldn't go into it if you are subjective. Obviously, you can't start any research unless you are personally interested in it. And the mere fact that you are interested in a particular research shows subjectivity itself. But the point is, you don't go into a research in order to prove what you already know. You go into research to prove what you don't know, to discover what you don't know. If you already know something, then you don't need the research to verify it. You already know it. But the idea behind the research is to objectively open up your mind to see the relationship so that you can see the larger picture, the big picture, that makes it easy for you to understand the links and the relationships between the variables that are concerning you as far as media is concerned. So objectivity, that is the ability to stand back and say, I'm not really personally involved in this. I'm detached from it. I'm outside of it. And that is the most important criteria. Not a particular qualification, but a particular personal attribute.
Okay. Since we are talking about the importance of research in media, how many types of research do we have in media setting?
Well, if you're talking about media setting, there are actually four categories of what you can call research in a media setting. The first one is research that looks at the medium itself. By looking at the medium itself, you are looking at the infrastructure of the medium, like radio, like television, music, and all that, you know. That is, you are only looking at the evolution of the medium. You are looking at the medium as a particular process, as a technology. So you are asking yourself, what is this? What is this medium? How does it work? Like digital television? What is digital television? How does it work? How does it evolve? How does it get to where it is now? What technology does it involve? How is it similar or different from what we already know? What functions and services does it provide? Who will have access to the new medium? How much will it cost? So when you are, the first category of research is dealing with the medium itself. And like I gave you an example of this digital television that the NBC is introducing, you'll be asking yourself all those sort of questions. The second category of your research focus will be the users and the users of that medium. Okay? Because once you determine that there is a medium, whether it is music, TV, radio, whatever it is, then people use that medium. There are people who use that particular medium. And the questions you begin to ask yourself in order to do a research in this is, how do people use the medium in real life? In other words, how do they use digital media, digital broadcasting? How do they use the radio? How many times do they listen to a particular program in the radio? Do children use it? Do adults use it? Like social media, for instance, mainly it's children or younger people use it. People who are over the age of 40, 50 probably don't use it. Newspapers, newspaper is a media. Young people don't read newspapers, but older people prefer to read newspapers. So what are the use and the users of the media? And that's a whole category also. That doesn't mean you have to do the research that includes both the two categories. You can only choose one aspect because you are looking at the typology of the research. Then the third is the effects of the media.
Okay.
how do people become impacted as a result of using that particular medium? How much time do people spend with the medium? Like for instance, how many hours do people spend online with the internet? How many hours do they spend watching a football game on TV? So there's a television and people spend like 1.5 hours watching a football team playing. How many hours do they spend? What is the effect of that? And that's a very controversial area, because you like to argue that watching too much TV, watching too much sports, being on the internet all the time, have an impact on your other aspects of life, like your social life. If you are always on social media or social networking site, then you don't engage much with other people. So your social skills become progressively decayed. Some people will also argue that too much concentration on social media might lead to poor performance in examinations or something like that. Or reading too many novels will also have an impact on you in your examination. But at the same time, people could argue that reading too many novels could improve your English. So you are looking at the effects. You are looking at how we react to it. You know, what are the harmful effects or the good effects or something like that. In what way does this medium assist people? In what way does it help people? How the medium can be improved. Okay. When you are doing a research on that, you are looking at how that particular medium can be improved. Can the medium provide information or entertainment to more types of people? Like for instance, you have older people now who probably don't have any form of musical entertainment. Anybody who's over the age of 55 to 70 to 80 are completely excluded from the current musical revolution that is going on, because most of the music that is happening now is for younger people. What about the older people? And the older people will tell you they remember Genkidi, they remember Shata, they remember Rangwaru and all that, which is very good, very good. But those artists are gone. So the only way you could help them is to restore the old recordings of these people so that the older generation can now continue to live their own experiences of the music that they like. So using the technology of MP3 technology, now you have digitized the old records for the young, for older people to be able to listen to. So you have now improved the medium. So you can look at those kind of improvements. So how can new technology be used to perfect or enhance the sight and sound of the new medium? Okay. Is there a way to change the content to be more valuable or entertaining? For instance, people now are aware of iPads, okay, that's tablets. And we realize that not every child can afford to buy textbooks in their school. So some companies are now coming up with the idea of putting all textbooks on a flash drive or on a memory card, which you can now attach to your iPad or to a tablet and have access to your books electronically. So you see there's an improvement of two media. First, book itself has become digitized. That's an improvement. The tablet itself has now made it possible for the digital books to be included into the tablet, and because it is interactive, it makes it easier for students to have access to books. So you don't need to go and buy all the books individually. You can now have all the books bundled to you on a flash drive or on a memory card, which you can now attach to your phone or to your tablet, and then you have now access to all the textbooks at your fingertips. That is a revolution. So we could look at the impact of all this. So these are the areas in which you actually conduct research in mass media.
Okay, sir, let me take you back to point number two. That is the media and the users of the media. As maybe a media personnel, what do we supposed to concentrate on, particularly in terms of the users, when we want to conduct a research?
For instance, how many people listen to a particular program? Let's say there is a program on radio. This program deals with politics. How many people listen to it? Why do they listen to it? Why should they listen to it? At what time do they listen to it? How much time do they put to listening to it? What do they gain out of it? You know, these are the kind of questions you keep asking about that particular medium. Okay. So you ask all these things. What newspapers do people read? Why do they read a particular newspaper? Why not another newspaper? Okay. Why are they interested in going to a particular viewing center but not in another one? For instance, you have people who have DSTV subscriptions in their homes. They can watch any football game they like because they pay for the subscription, but yet they don't. They go to viewing center because they like the idea of being together in a company where they can share their pleasures, their happiness, their sadness with other people who are thinking like them. So these are the kind of things you look at for users.
Okay, so sir, in this respect, what is the best maybe instrument to use in collecting data pertaining these users?
Oh, it all depends. It all depends on what you are using.
Okay.
Or what research you are using. There are three ways of looking at it. The first way is what they call political economy.
Okay.
You are looking in political economy, you are looking at the infrastructure of production.
Okay.
For instance, film industry. Who are the producers? Who are the executive producers? Who are the directors? Who pays the money? How are the films shot? How are they edited? How are they marketed? How are they consumed? So you are looking at the political economy of production. Then there is also another approach that you could have that deals with text and textuality. In text and textuality, you're looking at the messages.
Okay.
You're not looking at the production, but you're looking at the messages. So let's say, for instance, you're looking at the posters of religious sheikhs. You know, you have revered sheikhs have a lot of posters devoted to them. In one approach, you're only looking at who produces these posters, how much do they cost, how they are distributed, who buys them, where do they put them up, and so on.
Okay.
But in another approach of text and textuality, you're looking at what do the posters mean?
Okay.
What do they say?
Okay.
Why are people interested in the
message
shape and not the other?
Okay.
What kind of writing is inscribed on the posters?
Okay.
Then the third one is ethnographic approach, you know, sociological approach. You're looking at it now in terms of who uses these things.
Okay.
Why do they use them? What pleasure do they derive from using them? Why do they like Real Madrid but they don't like Chelsea? Or why do they like
Manchester?
All these football people?
Yes.
Why do they like one football team but they don't like the other team?
Okay.
Why do they like Drogba? They don't like Ronald or Ronaldo. So these are the sociological approaches.
Okay.
Then you find that people get very passionate.
Yeah.
They get committed to some of these people.
Yeah.
I heard that some kid was stabbed because he was celebrating when another team lost. So that is sociological, that is ethnographic in terms of the audiences themselves. You're looking at the audiences.
Okay, listeners, don't forget you're onto the program Media and Society, and the topic of discussion is the importance of research in the media setting, and you can take part by sending an SMS on 08065281528. I'll take that again. 08065281528. Stay tuned. Yes, Professor, is it possible for media to give people what they want without frequent research on their programs?
No, absolutely impossible.
Okay.
The reason is because media practitioners will have to be constantly on their toes to find out what is new, what is happening, what is going on, what is impactful, so that they will be able to not only entertain but also educate people listening to their program. Let's say you're doing a development program on farmers and farming or something like that. There's no way you can just simply talk about farming without actually going to the field and talking to the farmers. So the mere act of going to the farms, getting to talk to the farmers, finding out things you can about crop cycle, about the kind of crops, about the harvesting and all that stuff, is part of the research.
Okay.
So that is why it is very important for producers and writers and journalists to go out, open their minds and see what they can see, what they can dig up, so that they can tell the truth. Because remember, as I told you, research is about telling the truth, uncovering the truth, finding out the truth. So the more you go out and do research as a journalist, the more you tend to educate people about the reality of a particular situation. And remember, most people tend to believe what they hear on the radio or what they read in the newspaper. So that means there is a moral burden on you, there is a moral responsibility on you to make sure that whatever you say is really based on a solid fact, that you have facts to back it up. Otherwise, you may end up misleading people for a very long time.
Okay. So suppose I want to produce a program. At what stage do I supposed to conduct a research?
First of all, what is your topic? That's the first thing. What motivates you? What are you interested in? What topic would you like to look at? Let's say you'd like to do a program on child hawking. You know, children selling products all over the place. So your first starting point is hawking. Then second starting point is gender. Are you looking at girls who are hawking, or are you looking at boys who are hawking? Then the third thing you'd like to look at is economy. Who is rich, who is poor, and why are they doing it? Then you like to look at the kind of product they are hawking. Most of the things they are hawking are like snacks, like Robo, like Igada, you know, Data, Goro, that sort of thing. Yeah, Goro. They are snacks or things that, I mean, Goro is the same thing as chewing gum.
Okay.
So it's also a snack. So you begin to then focus an idea on coming up with a strategy, a research strategy, that will say, where will I start? Who will I talk to? You can't just simply stop children along the way and start talking to them. So you need to get maybe some kind of clearance from Miungwa or something like that to tell them, I am a producer for a program and I'm doing a program on this. And I just want you to know that I'm doing this research. Because in some cases, they may get worried when they see people talking to children.
Kids,
they may get the wrong impression. So that is why it is very necessary to get to Miungwa and tell him that you want to do this research in his area. And he might even attach a gatekeeper to you. A gatekeeper is a person who make it possible for you to talk to people much more easily, because you are a stranger in the place, they don't know you. Of course, you can do the same research in an area that you are very familiar with. The area that you come from, everybody knows you. So there will not be a worry when you start asking children questions. So the first starting point is, what are you going to produce? What is your topic? What do you want to work on? And most importantly, why? Why do you think it is very important? What can you uncover about your topic that will educate people, that will illuminate a particular experience? Are you just documenting it, or are you trying to draw attention to some fundamental issue that you want the government, parents, and civil society to take notice of?
Okay, yeah, Professor, can this research be conducted by a media personnel, or it must be carried only by maybe a research expert?
There are two ways of looking at it. Some of the media organizations outsource the research. They just simply employ a particular research consultancy firm and say, look, we are interested in research reports about a particular thing, could you tell us? The other way is for the producer themselves to actually go out and do the research. And I think, by and large, the producers doing the actual research themselves is more rewarding.
Okay.
Because they will be able to convey the outcome of the research much more convincingly, because they were involved in it. They were deeply part of the process. They gathered the data themselves, they did the analysis themselves, they put the report together themselves. So they will be able to talk about it far much more effectively than if they just simply get the results from somebody else who is not connected to the actual data or to the field where the data was conducted. So it all depends on the nature of the topic. There are topics that do not allow you the latitude doing the actual research, except like you want to do a feature story on nuclear energy or something like that. Obviously, in the cases where you don't have nuclear energy, you can't go and do a research there.
Okay.
So you rely on either online databases or on other researches done by other people. So, but if it is something that deals with, like, for instance, Adede Tesahu, who subscribe to Adede Tesahu? What do they feel about Adede Tesahu? So something like that now will require you to actually go into the field, do the research, put up your report, and then come up and tell us whatever it is.
What consequences can media outlets face in their programming, maybe without conducting a research?
Libel. It could be libelous. I mean, you could end up saying something that is not true of an organization. So it's fundamental ethics of journalism for you to always verify your facts. You have to verify something, and that is part of that research. You can't just simply say something, whatever you like, just like that. That is why they have rules and regulations and laws to protect us, to protect the journalists, as well as protect the civil society and public. So you can't just simply come up because you don't like a particular politician and start abusing them and saying they have chopped money or they have been asked to build some school or some structure and they haven't done all this and the money is gone. You have to have actual data, cash inflow, contract documents, and then you verify. It's only when you do that, then you come up and tell the truth. I mean, look at what Sanusi Lamido did, the central bank governor. He was able to uncover that there was something wrong with the amount of money given to the federal government agencies to the local state, and that creates a lot of row, a big row, and people were saying, where's your data? And he provided the data.
Okay.
So you can only stand on your moral high ground if you have effective data to back up what you say. If you don't have effective data to back up what you say, and you say something wrong, you could be taken to court. You could be prosecuted for libel.
Okay. Yes, Professor, audience are what majority of the media organization compete for. Are they very much maybe important in terms of maybe programming or scheduling our program? Do we have to take into consideration their interest?
The audience?
Yeah.
Of course. Because we all exist with the audience.
Okay.
Without the audience, there will be no media. Media does not exist by itself. It exists in order to serve particular interests. And if there is no audience for a musician, then he will not produce music. If there is no audience for filmmakers, then they will not make films.
Okay.
And if there is no audience for anybody to read the newspaper, then the newspaper will not be produced. And media relies on the audience to purchase or to engage in whatever they do in order to reinforce the existence or justification for that particular media. So if I'm a radio producer and I produce a program and I found somehow the other people are not listening to my program, then I have a serious problem.
Okay.
And that is why they have what they call rating scales.
Okay.
They have rating scales for most of the media organizations, which will tell you how popular your program is,
okay,
how many people watch or listen to your program. So that way the schedulers will now be able to say, well, this particular program is very important, people listen to it a lot, we will continue doing it.
Okay.
Or this program is not important because people don't listen to it.
Okay.
Another indicator of the importance of audience are advertisements.
Okay.
A program that does not have any advertisement whatsoever indicates that people don't really listen to it.
Okay.
But the moment you see advertisements on a program, then it means that people listen to that particular program a lot. And so that pulls a crowd, and advertisers are always looking for audiences. So the audience is your measure of determining the importance of that particular media.
Okay.
Look at the program that you broadcast late in the night, from let's say 11 o'clock to 12 midnight. They hardly have advertisement there, because by then everybody should be sleeping. So if anybody is not sleeping from that particular time, they are not likely to be concerned about the advertisements, so they just simply allow them programs to run.
Okay.
And which, to me personally, the best time to listen to the radio is that time, because the programs are uninterrupted.
Yes.
Without any. But then they have to run those programs to kill the time.
Okay.
Even though they know that probably not many people will be listening, but they have to run the program in order to kill the time.
Okay.
So audience are very critical. Without audience, that is why the whole idea, in fact, mass communication means communicating to a large number of and differentiated audiences. So without the audience, there will be no mass communication, because there is no mass.
Okay, Professor, it's like we are running out of time. I don't know whether you have anything to add.
Well, in this 1 minute, I just want to draw attention to the fact that research is a very, very critical endeavor. It makes you objective. It makes you truthful. Because the whole idea behind research is to uncover something that we don't know. Something that led us from the unknown to the known. And this research is our fundamental weapon of truth. That way you cannot be prosecuted for saying things up your head or for doing things without any control, because you are carrying out a systematic, regimented, structured process. And not only in media, even in your life, in your ordinary life, Islamic religion invites us to bring evidence for whatever it is that you want to do. Bring your evidence. Let us see your evidence for whatever you say. So it is very, very important to understand that research is not just an academic activity. It is a religious obligation for you to research and uncover the truth, so that you don't go and do kazaf, you don't go and do lies against other people without a fact. So research is critical. It's an fundamental engine of our social life.
Okay, Professor, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you very much. You're welcome.
Yeah, on behalf of my program manager, I'm Tijani Lawal, and I feel Murtala Ahmad produced the program. I'm your guide, Murtala Elias, so I guess you join us next week for the fresh package of the program.